The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. So does it give you comfort or does it make you nervous?
It makes me extremely nervous. And it makes me nervous, Howard, that you're about to go on a cruise. What the hell? I mean, did you not see what went on with those cruises a few extra weeks on the cruise? Really?
But I'm Jewish, so I'm thinking, you know, you can pay for a week and get 6 weeks free.
Yeah, yeah. And those 6 weeks are going to be kind of the six worst weeks for free that you've had in a long time. Honestly.
All right, fine.
No, I think in all honesty, staycation. Have you heard about it?
Yeah.
It's like to stay at home and just enjoy your home comforts, and you don't have to take out this insurance that Virgin Atlantic are offering you. I mean, it sounds almost like, I don't know, I don't even know.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
Okay, interesting indeed. All right, the IDF were in action again overnight against targets in Gaza. This follows a further day of attacks by terror balloons, and I'm glad that we're now using that word. All right, tell us, give us more context here.
Well, it's not stopping, really, and, you know, there's just constant tit-for-tat backwards and forwards. 36 fires were started along the Gaza border just during the day yesterday. In one day. So we've had so many fires. In fact, even a children's preschool has been partially burnt in one of the fires that broke out in that area. And it's just going on and on and on. There seems to be absolutely no end to this. There were rockets, we didn't talk about that, that were sent from Gaza during the weekend. People running to bomb shelters again. And an interesting development, something which has come entirely by surprise to me, is that the IDF's head of the Southern Command has led an Israeli delegation to Qatar. Now, of course, Qatar is a country that Israel does not have diplomatic relations with, even though there's been a lot of cooperation with Qatar to the extent that they have been financing in a large way many of the activities that have been going on in Gaza. They've been sending $5 million per month, later increasing it to 10 and then $20 million per month. And even, during the course of this year, they've been sending $30 and maybe even $40 million a month to try to distribute to needy people in Gaza. And, Israel has been cooperating with that to try to encourage the Qataris, first of all, to send the money, and second of all, to make sure that the money goes to the places that it should go and not to the leaders' pockets, and certainly not to those who are financing the terror activities. And now we see the head of the IDF Southern Command, Major General, I'm sorry, Herzi Halevi, flew yesterday to Doha. He is accompanied by other officials from the IDF, some representatives from the Shin Bet and the Mossad, and also the National Security Council. And apparently he's gone along to try to convince the Qataris, to convince Hamas leaders abroad in particular, to somehow intervene with this military escalation that's going on in the Gaza Strip. There were reports that leaders in Gaza, Hamas leaders, are going underground. That's a worrying development for us, because that means not only that they feel that they might be personally at risk and therefore they're taking shelter, but more than that, that they intend to carry out activities that could potentially then solicit a reaction that would bring their lives into danger. And we do know that the IDF in the past has carried out attacks against individuals, people in leadership positions, but that's really only when there is a feeling that there is strong instructions, people who are strong directions which are coming down from the leadership of Hamas down to the ground roots level, and therefore they feel the need to somehow take out people within the chain of command, those commands coming down from the leaders. And so those leaders now going into hiding gives us a very strong indication that they are sending the directions, they're sending the commands down to the ground, grassroots, down to the operations level, and therefore that they feel that they are risking themselves. They understand that the IDF has intelligence, that they have listening capabilities, that they know who's speaking to whom, that they know who is sending instructions to whom. And the fact that they're taking refuge and going into underground hiding is a very, very worrying development and an indication that we may well be seeing even a further escalation along the Gaza Strip in the near future. It's going to be interesting to see whether the Major General Halevi's visit to Doha and also his combination with the Mossad and the Shin Bet to try somehow to convince Hamas leaders to de-escalate the situation, whether that's going to be successful. But at the moment, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of hope.
No, it's very concerning. And one just wonders if this is just an attempt to get Israel, to provoke Israel to the point that Israel does something dramatic, and therefore it goes back to the possibility of the Hamas and the people of Gaza being portrayed as victims again, and turning because there's no doubt that the Palestinians lost ground around this UAE peace treaty, a peace agreement, and I just wonder if this is what they're doing to try and shift the victimhood back to the cause. It's just my own thoughts around that, but
possibility.
You know, I can't
certainly
see any other reason that this would be happening right now. Interesting.
I agree.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will address the Republican National Convention from a secret location in Jerusalem today. How's this idea being received?
Not very well is the simple answer. A lot of people are saying that Mike Pompeo is using his public office in order somehow to try to promote the Trump presidency. We do know that President Trump has now been formally nominated by the Republican convention, and this convention taking place around this time, obviously today, and has been taking place for a while. Both online and with apparently a few people attending in person. So it's kind of a combination of a conference. I didn't know that there are actually conferences that are taking place these days where people actually turn up. I've been watching some of the sporting events with the empty stadiums. I thought that that's similar to what goes on with these conventions, but apparently that's not the case at all. There are people who are in personal attendance, but there have been a lot of people criticizing Mike Pompeo using his trip to Jerusalem and to the Middle East in general as something of a tool, as something of a lever to apparently try to assist the Trump campaign, or at least that is the view that some people have expressed. We are told that four teams of lawyers have reviewed the remarks that Mike Pompeo plans to make to the Republican convention later today. That's how sensitive all of this really is. Lawyers, his own personal lawyers, lawyers from the State Department, lawyers from the White House, different sets of lawyers all poring over every word that he plans to utter. And of course, his location in Jerusalem not being made public, at least not for the moment. I just wonder how long that's going to remain secret for. Obviously a lot of effort going in now to try to support the Trump presidential bid for a re-election for a second term. Mike Pompeo apparently coming to the party, even though there are a lot of rumors about whether he will, in fact, you know, be one of those in a future Trump government if, in fact, Trump is re-elected. That's a separate discussion. But at least for now, he's definitely playing his part to try and make a personal appearance. He's not appearing in this one as the Secretary of State, of course not. This is now Mike Pompeo appearing in his personal capacity to try and prop up the Trump campaign. But this has been received with a lot of consternation and a lot of controversy that he is choosing while he is on official business to actually make this presentation to the Republican convention.
Fascinating. And with less than a week to go before new school year begins, there's still disagreements with how the school year will reopen. Look, Anthony, with all due respect, there's always a disagreement, even if there isn't COVID. There's never a clear and easy start to the school year in Israel. Somebody's always complaining. Or striking.
That's very true, actually. That's very true. Mm. This is the moment that all those people who feel that they have a gripe will obviously flex their muscles and exercise every single negotiating power that they have in order to get what they want. But it's been very, very confusing because there was quite a clear statement that was made already some weeks ago by the Education Minister, Yoav Gallant, in conjunction with Health Minister, Yuli Edelstein, and they came out and said that high schools are going to effectively be learning pretty much online. They're concerned about children of 12 years old and up being more susceptible to the virus. Those people might be taken ill more seriously, and they also may well be spreaders in a greater effect than the younger children. And so the idea was that younger children would pretty much return to school as normal, and then as the ages went up, there would be a mix of children attending school physically and also learning online. But in the meantime, all of that has been thrown up in the air now because the coronavirus committee disagrees with the way that things have been structured. And they feel that children in grades 5 and 6 should actually go to school and not learn from home for some of the time. So this whole hybrid learning situation has come under review. It hasn't been formally approved. The parents' committee are not very happy that children are going to be spending, at least children of that sort of age in grades 5 and 6 will be spending some of the time at home and some of the time at school. They want those children actually to go back to school on a more consistent basis. Then we hear that Zoom has had some sort of an attack and that it's not operating very stably at the moment. So that's another reason perhaps why children need to go back to school. So overall, there is a lot of confusion at the moment about children going back to school next week. We do know that the school year will definitely open on the 1st of September, but we have no real idea as to which children will actually be attending school physically and which children will be attending school virtually, right, whether the Zoom platform will actually be able to support all of this going on. And of course, the critical thing is that the parents of younger children want to be able to go back to work. And so to the extent that children are going to be at home, even if it's 1 or 2 days a week, means that those parents will not be able to go to work. And that's another reason why there is such an eagerness for children, at least up to a certain age, to actually return to school 6 days a week as in the way that they normally go to school, rather than one day on and one day off. The education minister has said that there cannot be any re-evaluation at this stage because, in his words, the train has already left the station. However, I think that this train may well be reversing back into the station within the next few days as the government tried to get their heads around exactly what we should be doing about getting children back to school. It sounds completely opposite to the story that I've heard you describe, Howard, about how your children return to school and how good that experience has been. This, I think, is going to be a little bit, a little messy, to be honest.
Yeah, I think South Africa is doing fairly well in that regard. We don't have a lot of time, but I do want to quickly touch on this. Israel has experienced its first diplomatic disagreement with the UAE even before the peace agreement was signed. What is the spat about?
Well, it's all really about the U.S. government selling these F-35 bombers to the United Arab Emirates. That seems to have been part of the deal. We spoke about it a week or two ago. The prime minister denied that he agreed that the U.S. would sell these bombers. Other people in the government feel that the prime minister probably gave some consent, even if it was not, even if it was in a sort of a tacit consent, but gave the consent to these bombers being sold to the UAE. In the meantime, the UAE have taken exception to all of this, and they don't like the fact that they've come under criticism for being sold these F-35 bombers. There was supposed to be a three-way meeting involving representatives from the U.S., the UAE, and Israel that was due to have taken place and which has now, unfortunately, been cancelled as a result of this little spat. So already a diplomatic spat, and we don't even have a peace agreement yet.
All right. Well, let's keep an eye on that one and hope that it gets resolved. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time, same place.